Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, calling for the regime's trial. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said Israel's bombardments of Gaza must immediately stop. He said Muslims around the world are angry over the regime's aggression. The leader warned that no one can stop Muslims and resistance groups if Israel continues its crimes against Palestinians. He criticized indifference to the aggression against Palestinians in the besieged territory, saying that condemning the Israeli crimes is a collective responsibility. Ayatollah Khamenei also referred to Palestinians' Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. He said those living in Israeli settlements in the occupied territories are not civilians, but they are armed settlers. The leader said the U.S. is responsible for the crimes being perpetrated against Palestinians. Ayatollah Khamenei added that evidence shows that Washington is formulating Israel's current policy toward Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Masoud Shajar, chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, joins us from London. Masoud Shajar, welcome. Regarding the crimes that are being committed by the Israeli regime, there is no doubts as to whether that's being committed or not, because A, they came out, the Israeli Minister for Military Affairs came out and said that in reference to Palestinians as animals, that they're going to kill them, and also the fact that they're going to lay a siege, both war crimes, and now a third, of which the UN has said this forced displacement of Palestinians from the north to the south is considered a crimes against humanity. So the whole question of accountability, as Iran's leader has said, comes about. But how can the Israeli regime be held accountable and its officials?
Well, you're absolutely right. There is no doubt that what is happening is war crime. Is war crime because of the fact of the collective punishment? Is war crime because it's motivated by a promotion of hate, and which sort of equates the Palestinians to animals and even indeed sub-animals? So really, it's very clear that what is happening is a war crime, is not accidental, is designed to be a war crime, and Netanyahu and others are very very easily and very publicly bragging about it in many ways. Then it comes to how they're going to be held accountable. Unfortunately, the international structures like international courts and UN and so forth are structured as such that they are really not capable to address these issues because of the fact that the structure of UN and the sort of veto powers, etc., and the way that it has been used and misused. And also, you know, the international court is so slow. It will take years and years and years before anything happened. But nevertheless, I think the public opinion now is changing so rapidly against the Zionist state that we are going to see escalation on sort of the popularity and of the Zionism and the Zionist state. And indeed, the exposure of what they are doing, everyone could see it. Yes, on one side, the leaders of the Western world and some others, including some Arab leaders, are doing a lip service to the Zionists. And they are keep on saying that, you know, they talk about the right of defense of the Israelis, when it seems that, you know, either Palestinians don't exist or they don't have any right whatsoever. They don't have right against illegal occupation. They don't have right for defending themselves. They don't have right to have water. They don't have right, any right whatsoever. And this is, unfortunately, is although it's very oppressive, but it's very clear. Even their own nation, even their own citizens are actually waking up to this abusive sort of concept being articulated by their leader. So yes, we have to go and say there has to be an end to this war crime, and it has to be now.
All right, thank you very much for that. Masoud Shajar, chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission from London. Thanks. Iran's prime minister has issued yet another stern warning to Israel as the regime presses ahead with its deadly onslaught against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. Hossein Amir Abdollahian said the resistance front will not allow Israel to do whatever it wants in Gaza, rather turn toward other resistance groups. He warned that any preemptive measure by the resistance front is possible in the coming hours. Amir Abdollahian added, new fronts will inevitably open up against Israel if it does not stop its war crimes. The top Iranian diplomat noted that the geographical map of the Israeli regime will change if the war spreads to other fronts. Asked if Iran will join the war, Amir Abdollahian said that anything is possible and no side can watch the regime's atrocities with indifference. He also censured the U.S. for urging self-restraint in the war on Gaza while supporting the Israeli regime at the same time. Representatives of Palestinian resistance movements have come together in a conference in Tehran to discuss the latest developments in the Gaza Strip. They said that despite the intense Israeli aggressions, Palestinians will not surrender. Saman Kujuri reports.
Tehran has hosted a conference on Palestine to discuss the latest developments in the besieged Gaza Strip. The event was attended by representatives of Palestinian resistance movements, including Hamas. The participants believe despite Israel's brutal bombardment of Gaza, Palestinian resistance fighters will be victorious at the end.
What's happening in Gaza is a genocide taking place in front of the eyes of all people across the world. But Gaza will not surrender, and the resistance continues to shoot rockets at the Zionist settlements. Undoubtedly, the Al-Aqsa flood operation will change the principles governing the conflict with Israel completely, or at least to a large extent, and this will bring good regional and international consequences. Victory will be with Palestinians.
Israel launched a war on Gaza on October 7th after Palestinian Hamas resistance group waged a surprise attack, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, against the occupying regime. Israel's military has also ordered 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza to evacuate their homes amid signs of intensifying its offensive. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have fled south following the order. The United Nations has warned it is impossible for such a movement to take place without devastating humanitarian consequences. Human rights groups have stressed that depriving an occupied population of basic necessities is a war crime.
The only thing in front of our people today is to face alone the atrocities of this barbaric hegemony of and offensive of the Israeli army. And as I said, the diplomatic statements from the Western government, it's very, very weird and unacceptable by our own people. What is the meaning that the British and the American, they are announcing a war against our resistance? This is a resistance which has been legitimate under the international law because they are defending themselves against the occupation. We are under the occupation and we are in a state of defense against the continuous atrocities and offensive of the Israeli army for the last 75 years.
According to the Gaza Health Ministry, at least 2,750 Palestinians have been killed and 9,700 wounded in Israeli airstrikes on the Strip. Tehran says the history of the apartheid regime is filled with assassinations, massacre, torture, and killing of children. It says Tel Aviv's horrific killing of Palestinian women and children is indicative of the destitute of the regime. Political analysts believe that Israel has no one to blame but itself for the war with Palestinians. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Rising death toll, flattened buildings with no food, water, and electricity supplies. These are what Israel's nonstop strikes, shelling, and complete blockade have brought to the Gaza Strip. The regime's fresh air raids have killed 71 Palestinians in Rafah and Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip. Israeli attacks also took the life of a Palestinian journalist in the north, bringing to 16 the number of journalists killed by the regime bombardment since October 7. That is when Israel launched its assaults against the besieged Palestinian territory following Palestinians' Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. The total death toll from Israel's aggression now stands at over 2,800. Over 1,000 children are among the victims. The humanitarian situation is getting worse by the hour in Gaza, with hospitals facing a collapse. The World Health Organization is warning of an imminent catastrophe in the territory.
As far as water, electricity, and fuel are concerned, according to the UN, the Red Cross, and the Red Crescent,
After 24 hours, it will be a real catastrophe. No fuel, therefore no electricity for all the inhabitants of the Gaza Strip in general, and for the medical establishments in particular.
The WHO official said if aid is not allowed into Gaza, patients will die. Al-Mandari added that overcrowding has paralyzed hospitals in the territory. He said intensive care units, operating rooms, emergency services, and other wings are all on the brink of collapse. According to the UN Human Rights Chief, depriving civilians of goods essential for survival is banned under international law. Palestinian resistance groups have launched more attacks against Israel, retaliation for the regime's bombardment of the Gaza Strip. The military wing of Hamas resistance movement, the Izzaddin al-Qassam Brigades, fired missiles at the occupied al-Quds in response to the Israeli killing of Palestinian civilians. Also in al-Quds, the meeting of Israel's Knesset was disrupted due to the missiles from the Gaza Strip. That's according to the Palestinian media. Meanwhile, al-Quds Brigades, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement, has targeted an Israeli intelligence building in Kerem Shalom border crossing. Palestinian resistance fighters entered the Gaza envelope area on October 7th following missile strikes on Israeli targets under Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Nearly 1,900 Israelis have been killed and more than 3,800 injured since the beginning of the operation. Hamas says it launched a military campaign in response to repeated Israeli desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque and its crimes and aggression throughout the decades. The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says that it is not intimidated by Israeli threats of a ground invasion of the blockaded Gaza Strip. The spokesman for the Qassam Brigade said that it is ready for any such offensive and will use it as an opportunity to severely punish Israel for its crimes against Palestinians. He vowed that Gaza would turn into a graveyard for its invaders. Abu Ubaida added that Hamas and other resistance groups are holding 250 captives taken from Israel. He said at least 22 captives were killed in Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. Abu Ubaida said that non-Israeli captives are being treated as guests and will be released when conditions are ripe. Senior Hamas leader Khaled Mashal has also said the group wants the release of some 6,000 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for the Israeli captives. Sayyid Mohsen Abbas is a journalist and political commentator who joins us from London. Sayyid Mohsen Abbas, welcome. I think one of the important things that I'd like to find out from you, which may indicate what Gaza is going to be facing, is this dispatchment by the U.S. The Pentagon even made the announcement also of 200 special service members. That's composed of sailors that has been now dispatched to the area. This on top of the second carrier coming. They are saying they're not going to be joining. There's no possibility of them joining the if there's a ground invasion of the Israeli regime forces. But who knows? I'd like to understand your reading into this.
Well, I think Biden's also said that he's coming on Wednesday. He's obviously coming for an inspection of why the Israeli forces have done so pathetically within this standard operation that usually come and clean up. I mean, if you look at the Operation Cast Lead, which involved a 15-day ground invasion in 2009 in Gaza by the Israelis, or the Operation Pillar of Cloud, which involved a 19-day ground invasion in 2014. You can see subsequently in the 2022 conflict, and even now, it's a much more reluctant inclination to do ground invasions, and that is simply because the statistics tell you that the reality, 1,885 Zionists have been killed. Mostly those people are combatants, settlers with guns and weapons, or Israeli soldiers. Their border posts are being hit in the north on a regular basis. They aren't going into Gaza because there's a 60-kilometer tunnel network and sophisticated enough weapons to cause very, very considerable damage to the Israelis. So what we're seeing is a new kind of theater of operation. It's a theater in which the Israelis are far from confident, and now the Americans, with the warships and with all these 160 aircraft which are stationed on those warships and all the servicemen you talk about, America is obviously seriously considering coming in bolstering an Israeli army that it has very little trust in, by the looks of things. The Israeli army itself itself, of course, was hammered in 2000 and 2006 by Hezbollah. That bang went the Israeli military's invincibility mantra. The Iron Dome was taken down in 2022, bang went the Iron Dome invincibility lie. And on this occasion, in Al-Aqsa Tufan, what we've seen is... So we're seeing all these myths being shattered of the military, of their surveillance system, of all their various other, much vaunted invincibility mantras around their dealing with Palestine. And I think that has worried the Americans. The Americans are now having to say, well, we're going to send in our warships, 160 or so aircraft, lots of personnel. So they're seriously considering bolstering an Israeli army that they're rapidly losing confidence in. The morale within the Israeli army after seeing their 2,000 or so comrades die in military action by the resistance is also going to be playing on the minds, because don't forget, these soldiers are not, they're not like even the arrogant terrorists of pre-Nakba days, where they were motivated religiously and could fight on a real motivated basis. These are conscripts who are virtually forced to go into war, and they're not strong enough. What they're facing in now is also something different. It's not just a Palestinian resistance which is with sticks and stones or shouting. It's the one which has the military training capabilities and equipment, backed up now clearly by a broader resistance which involves everybody from Kataib Hezbollah to other organization, Hezbollah, and even Ansarullah. All are pledging support for the Palestinian resistance. And Ayatollah Khamenei, as you've mentioned, has issued a warning saying, look, new fronts will open if this kind of level of genocide continues, if the water, the fuel, the food is cut off, if you stop acting like barbarians and animals towards the Palestinian civilians and ordinary folk, just to tally up the numbers, because that's what they're doing, by killing 3,000 Palestinian civilians, by killing 1,000 Palestinian children, what they're doing is playing a numbers game, trying to match up the fact that they've lost about 2,000 Zionist militants and military folk with basically comparing it with children, just to make up the numbers. The barbarity is wicked. I've seen videos now of settlers, Zionist settlers, urinating on the stripped bodies of Palestinians in the occupied territories. They spit on them, they urinate on them. This is the kind of mentality, the barbarism that we're facing, and the Americans and the West, as usual, are fully sanctioning it, fully supporting it, fully licensing it, and this has got to be stopped. And Ayatollah Khamenei said that if you do not stop, then the consequences of a regional conflict and a broader conflict are absolutely going to rise.
Thank you very much for that, Samuelson Abbas, journalist and political commentator from London. Many thanks. With that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. Thanks so much for being with us. Bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. I have often visited the mothers of martyrs, who, for example, had one or two children who were martyred. They would say that even if they had had 10 children, they would have been prepared to offer them as martyrs. They were honest. They were saying this in truth. Now, in this exhibition here, they showed us a few instances. There was a woman who was the mother of 9 martyrs. Is this a joke? A mother of 9 martyrs or 8 martyrs? Can you even imagine such a thing? But this truly happened.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I myself saw a family in Kurdistan where 7 people from one family, what comes to my mind now is that there were 7 people, were all martyred. The first time I saw them, their mother was alive and their father was also alive. Later on, their father passed away. 7 martyrs from one family. What else but a religious factor can cause such a thing? This is the factor of religion. These people were the defenders. The front lines of our battlefield were mihrabs, the place in front of the mosque where the prayer leader leads the communal prayer of worship. In the middle of the night, a young man, a commander, or someone who was not a commander, a company, or a battalion, would sit down, shed tears, cry, and pray. This did not happen in just 1, 2, or 10 cases. This was happening in all the various areas of the front. Where in the world, in which war, in which military conflict, has such a situation ever been seen? Where has there been this passion for martyrdom, these invocations, such attentiveness to Almighty God, a desire for martyrdom and such things? There was also the general presence of the nation. In other words, the battlefield did not just consist of the area where there was a conflict taking place. Areas behind the fronts were also part of the battlefront, like the places from where the forces were being supplied.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me. Through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Yeah.
The scenes out of the Gaza Strip are nothing short than a massacre. The hospital there is on its last breath, like the patients. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of more than 1 million people from northern Gaza to, quote, temporarily move south to mitigate civilian harm. The UN has condemned this move, warning against devastating humanitarian consequences, warning that the evacuation was simply not possible.
Moving more than 1 million people across a densely populated war zone to a place with no food, water, or accommodation, when the entire territory is under siege, is extremely dangerous and in some cases simply not possible.
The Palestinian UN envoy had harsher words, urging the UN chief to stop Israel's crimes against humanity.
Stop this carnage of civilians.
Israel's UN ambassador, meanwhile, criticized the UN response to Israel's warning. The UN should be praising Israel for these precautionary actions, he said. For years, the UN has put its head in the sand in the face of Hamas's terror buildup in Gaza. This coming from a regime that has never heeded any UN resolutions, or international law for that matter, and has been called a child killer. The stats here speak for themselves.
More than 150,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed or injured in Gaza and the West Bank since 2008. 33,000 of those were children.
This is what Israel has in mind: the creation of two evacuation routes to the south of Barakah, which Israel has said will not be the target of Israeli attacks. Hamas has rejected that outright. There are fears that Israel is trying to bring people to the streets with the aim of creating gatherings and then taking casualties, something it has done in previous wars. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, it is reported that the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is negotiating with Persian Gulf Arab countries to convince them to accept the residents of the Gaza Strip. He has said that it is because the Israeli army is getting ready to raise Gaza to the ground. The expression "to raise to the ground" is one that Blinken used exactly. The plan is to transfer 1 million citizens to Egypt and then distribute them to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. What Israel has in mind is to prepare for a block-by-block warfare in Gaza. Israel has already stated that the goal is to destroy Hamas, disregarding the human costs, which may include the ones in captivity. And that includes Israeli soldiers' lives as well. The resistance fighters can use their tunnel network to get in behind the attack or to attack in all directions, to make it very difficult for Israel to effectively have an advantage. At the end, the U.S. and a U.S.-supported coalition will help Israel demolish the Gaza Strip, which the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has stated. The U.S. would do that through its aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, along with the U.K., who has sent surveillance aircraft. But not so fast. Hamas itself has plenty of firepower left in its arsenal, from drones to missiles and its fighters. And there are other players in this battle as well, who are willing and even more able to defeat the enemy forces. Hezbollah and a squadron of fighters, for one, who has said that it would act when deemed necessary. Israel's ultimate goal is a greater Israel. One needs to look at where the American forces are located, from the west of Iraq on the Euphrates border and east of the Euphrates of Syria. But if it comes down to that, there is one formidable force standing in their way: the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you.
The European Union has asked Elon Musk to censor information not conforming to the Western narrative over Israel's war of aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. The EU called on Musk, the billionaire owner of the social media website X, formerly known as Twitter, to curb the spread of what it called disinformation about Israel's aggression against Palestinians. In a letter to Musk shared on social media, EU industry chief Thierry Breton claimed that he had indications that X was purportedly being employed to disseminate what he called illegal content and disinformation in the European bloc. The criticism directed at X social media platform is part of a multi-front information war designed to control the narrative around anything surrounding the Palestinian issue and the latest anti-occupation operation. Palestinian support in the West is at an all-time high, despite Western leaders coming out in the open in defense of the Israeli regime and its relentless and indiscriminate aggression against Palestinians. In France, which prides itself for so-called freedom of expression, police attacked a pro-Palestine demonstration.
It's a shame that France is authorizing the protests in favor of Israel, but forbidding the protests for Palestine, arguing that they pose a security problem. They just can put some policemen and they will see that things will go well. We have the right to show solidarity with people who have been suffering oppression for a long time. This has to stop. Stop hypocrisy. Stop.
Western leaders and their media cronies have come out in unison to toe the same false narrative that the Hamas operation was unprovoked and that the Israeli regime is justified in attacking Palestinians. But they fail to mention the unbearable situation that Israel has created for Palestinians, both in Gaza and the occupied West Bank.
Also, this is just part of colonization. This is the last phase of European colonization. And notice that the countries that are most strongly in support of Israel are not just the United States. It's the United States, Australia, and Canada, the offshoots of England, Anglosphere sometimes called, unusual forms of imperialism. These are settler colonial societies.
The West and its media apparatuses have turned to their disinformation campaigns to muddy the line between fact and reality. Perhaps the most egregious claim came from the Zionist outlet I-24 News. It falsely claimed that 40 Israeli babies were killed and that some were decapitated. The claim has been proven categorically false by media outlets. The claim of Israeli babies being killed was spread with no proof or source. Yet the very real footage of martyred Palestinian babies being pulled from the Gaza rubble was largely ignored by Western leaders and their influence accounts.
I am incredibly angered that word of mouth, unverified reports of quote-unquote rape and decapitation, which obviously draw on Islamophobic tropes, have garnered more and more political and global outrage than those very images, than a video of a nurse announcing and screaming in distress that her husband has been killed in an Israeli airstrike. And, you know, the PR strategy of the Israeli regime throughout all of this has been to invoke those Islamophobic sentiments.
Western media apparatus and celebrity apparatus are intertwined, and they propagate the so-called standard narrative about the righteousness of Western Israeli axis and the inherent evil character of Muslims and Arabs. Any deviation meaning support for Palestine is met with categorically false claims of anti-Semitism, racism, or outlandish smear campaigns. Decades of aggression, occupation, land theft, systematic discrimination against Palestinians, and oppression have largely been ignored.
The Israeli government have brazenly, publicly, and openly declared their intention to commit a war crime and have commenced that war crime against the people of Gaza, saying that they intend to starve of food, electricity, water, 2.2 million people. That is a war crime under the Fourth Geneva Convention. They are raining down thousands of the most sophisticated missiles known to humanity onto the most densely populated area in the world. That almost every missile will incur civilian casualties, will and are destroying the infrastructure, the water infrastructure, the energy.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says Israel will receive a heavier slap for the regime's ongoing massacre of the Palestinian people in the besieged Gaza Strip. The leader emphasized that the Gaza massacre will bring a greater calamity to the Zionists after they suffered, quote, an irreparable failure both in terms of military and intelligence. Ayatollah Khamenei further described as a destructive quake the anti-Israel operation launched by Palestinians. He said those who blame the operation on non-Palestinians are making mistakes. The leader underlined that the damage inflicted on Israel in the surprise operation by Palestinians is the result of the regime's own actions. Ayatollah Khamenei said the brave move by Palestinians was a response to years of Israeli crimes. The leader said Israel is now playing the victim card and that Western media outlets are helping the regime in this regard. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that the regime cannot be portrayed as an oppressed entity while it is actually a monster. He warned Israel and its backers that the bloodshed of Palestinians will bring them greater calamity. The leader said the Israeli regime is playing the victim card in order to double down on its oppression and justify its attack on people's houses, attack on civilians, and its massacre and mass killing of Gazans. The ferocious bombardment of the Gaza Strip has left the besieged territory in ruins. The residents of Gaza are facing unimaginable suffering.
But my neighbors, they didn't evacuate as well. They have their windows down. Here are their windows. And here is the family. They're gathering all together, also in a place far away from here. I was trying to explain things, but I think you can hear them now.
Aid groups say the damage to water, sanitation, and hygiene facilities have already disrupted services to more than 2.3 million people there. Israeli officials have cut water, electricity, and fuel supplies to the coastal enclave. Israel is squeezing Palestinians in Gaza further, extending an existing 16-year air, land, and sea blockade of the territory. Legal experts have been raising the question of whether Israel's actions could be considered a war crime by the International Criminal Court.
The humanitarian situation in Gaza was extremely dire before these hostilities. Now it will only deteriorate exponentially. Medical equipment, food, fuel, and other humanitarian supplies are desperately needed, along with access for humanitarian personnel. Relief and entry of essential supplies into Gaza must be facilitated, and the UN will continue efforts to provide aid to respond to these needs.
According to the UN, more than 187,000 of Gaza's 2.3 million people have left their homes. There are no bomb shelters in Gaza. Residents who have lost their homes have nowhere to turn except the 83 UNRWA schools across the territory. According to Palestinian health officials, Israeli strikes have targeted hospitals and medical crews. Hospitals are overcrowded with injured people.
Health facilities, patients, health workers, and civilians in general have to be protected and safeguarded, as Dr. Tedros has said over the week.
There is a shortage of drugs and medical supplies and a shortage of fuel for generators. The Palestinian Ministry of Health has called for a safe corridor to ensure the entry of urgent medical aid into Gaza's hospitals. The Red Crescent has delivered some medical aid to Gaza through the Rafah crossing, but the delivered aid is far from enough to alleviate the pains and sufferings of the people in Gaza. The Gaza power plant, now the only source of electricity, has run out of fuel. The loss of electricity will directly affect hospitals and the water supply. As the war drags on in Ukraine, signs are emerging that do not bode well for the U.S.-led coalition against Russia. Just days ago, the Slovak Social Democracy Party, which is a pro-Russia party, won the country's parliamentary elections. The leftist Smeristy Party, led by former Premier Robert Fico, has not secured enough votes to form a government and needs to form a coalition with other parties. But the victory has been interpreted as a sign of growing war fatigue in Europe. The party's leader has said that no more weapons would go to Ukraine. He has also questioned the logic of the EU's Russia sanctions and even accused NATO of causing the war.
I believe that on the one hand, yes, we should expect certain, let's say, uncomfortable relationship between Brussels and Slovakia. But then on the other hand, I also think that the relationship will also be rather pragmatic. However, the danger is real when it comes to Slovakia's declining support to Ukraine. And this will also have its impact to weaken the EU's unity when it comes to its support for Ukraine.
Just weeks ago, Poland, a staunch ally of Ukraine, announced that it would no longer supply weapons to its neighbor amid a diplomatic dispute over Kiev's grain exports. Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki has said that Poland's focus was instead on defending itself with more modern weapons. The country's president later tried to modify this stance, but the dispute is seen as a rift among members of the anti-Moscow alliance. Poland has supplied hundreds of Soviet-era tanks and 14 MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine and served as a major transit hub for weapons from other Western nations. These developments have stirred talk of a global shift in sentiment towards supporting Ukraine as the war grinds on, more than a year and a half after it began.
It is full of Ukrainians here. This is what I seriously do not like. They get benefits, energy costs went up, everything went up. So basically, they are getting benefits, and we, our citizens, we pay.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع. ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: إن هذه القلوب تمل كما تمل الأبدان، فابتغوا لها طرائف الحكمة.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام said, "The hearts become tired as the bodies become tired. You should therefore search for beautiful sayings for them to enjoy by way of refreshment."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, in the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of the things that we find which is very apparent in Imam Ali alayhi salam is this reverential fear that Imam Ali alayhi salam has for the Almighty Allah. This fear out of the awe and the grandeur and the majesty of the Almighty Allah. And of course, some of these things we cannot understand, but we can perhaps imagine a very small aspect of it. But when one realizes the majesty and the grandeur and the awe and the power of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course a reverential fear comes about into play. And when one realizes how much they should be grateful to the Almighty Allah and that they aren't, then this again brings about a certain kind of fear. On the other hand, when one realizes the great amount of sins that one has committed in disobedience to the Almighty Allah, then again one also has this sense of fear. And of course, when we hear the various different characteristics and the descriptions of hell, for example, then an individual again falls into fear and really is afraid of the various different sins that have been committed and in reality the disobedience that an individual has done against the Almighty Allah. It's interesting, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he talks about the flames of hell, he really describes the fires of hell in a manner where one truly becomes fearful. May Allah protect us from such a fate, and may we all be saved by the name and the sake of Imam Ali alayhi salam from these great flames of fire, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the flames are fierce, the pain is ever fresh of these fires, the din is ready and the din is high. The flames are glowing, they are ablaze. Again, the rage is fierce, and the exhalation of this flame is furious. And these kind of different descriptions that Imam Ali alayhi salam gives, truly one is moved, and one becomes fearful, and one becomes regretful of the past sins that have been committed. And it is this istighfar, and this asking of forgiveness, which results in the fear of the descriptions that we have of hell, that bring us closer to the Almighty Allah, a very beautiful lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Manam gulam e ali, تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. أشهد أنك جاهدت في الله حق جهاده وعملت بكتابه واتبعت سنن نبيه.
I testify that you made utmost efforts, as it should be, in the cause of Allah, acted upon His book, followed the way of life of His Prophet, blessings of Allah be on him and his children, to the last moment of your life, until Allah invited you to come unto Him and used His discretion to take you away and sealed your enemy's doom with the blame that the arguments had been made known to one and all through you. O Allah, let me be happy and satisfied with that which Thou considers good for me. Let me agree with that which Thou decides for me. Let me passionately remember Thee and invoke Thee. Let me be in love with Thy pure and sincere friends. Let me be well-liked and respected on the earth and in the heavens. Let me be unruffled and well-composed in the midst of misfortunes. Let me be gratefully thankful in prosperity. Let me be mindful of much and more bounties. Let me ardently desire for the heart-warming meeting with Thee, well-equipped with piety to gain my end on the day of requital. Let me follow into the footsteps of Thy representatives. Let me disassociate myself from the mannerism of Thy enemies. Let me pass my time in this world by praising and glorifying Thee.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
We are on two sides. Either you love Ali ibn Abi Talib or you hate Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's if you know Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that is why we find a hadith from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. أنه قال لعليٍ يا علي لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. He says, oh Ali, no. That those who love you, that is a sign of iman. Yeah? And for those who hate you, that is a sign of nifaq, hypocrisy in their hearts. Now, we need to look before we describe what is it about Imam Ali alayhi salam that makes him loved and hated at the same time so much, we need to have an introduction to understand this whole idea or this concept of this jazibiyya, as it is known in Arabic, this attraction. Naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you would hate disbelief. You would hate people who transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people who sit there and say, oh, let anything happen, these are people who let the world fall down and don't do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. They don't take sides. This is not the way Islam tells us to live our lives. Islam wants us to take sides. Islam wants us to say, this is the side of Haq and I walk on this side. This is the side of Batil and I don't walk on this side of Batil. So when these people who talk in this way and say that I would rather not take a side, I would rather sit on the fence, these are people that we need to avoid. And these are people that we make sure that we are not like, my brothers and sisters. Take a look at yourselves. And I advise myself and I advise you, where am I? Which one of these four do I fall into? Because only one is the one we have to be in. Everything else is wrong. So this is the first one, and it is absolutely something that we must avoid. The second group of people. These are people who only have the power of attraction. Oh, they make everybody fall in love with them. And they love everybody. They don't want to criticize anybody. They don't want to do anything which would upset or rock the boat. Why? Because we're all talking about love only here. Huh? We only have the power of attraction. You know, these are the people who, if you're having an amal at your house, I will come to the amal. You are having a music party at your house, I'll come to the music party. Because these are people who have no principles. A man of principle will know where he stands. A man who has no principle will go anywhere that he goes. Anywhere that they are dragged, this man will go. And these are people who are munafiq in this world. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. These are like the people who want to win your vote. They will say anything or do anything for you so that you will like them. This is the second group of people. These are the kind of people that we need to make sure that we avoid at all costs. We can't love everybody, my brothers and sisters.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Mother, don't cry for me, I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword. Palestine, forever Palestine. Children being killed for throwing stones in the sky. They say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine, forever Palestine.
Eye on Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome to Eye on Islam, the show where we look at current affairs through an Islamic lens. Each week we consider a trending news story and we break it down from an Islamic perspective. This week, we're bringing you a very special show in the wake of the declaration of the Al-Aqsa flood operation waged by numerous Palestinian groups in Gaza. The attack was